Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity once again, as we do here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning here on WVFP FM 101.5 Kicks Country. It's a pleasure to be able to come to you, and we hope you're sitting back, relaxed, maybe had a thoroughly nourishing breakfast, maybe working on a cup of coffee. And we come to you live and in living color here on your radio dial each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And this program is made possible through the auspices of the Three-Star Committee, the Chamber of Commerce, and all the fine folks in and around the merchants and business folks around here that advertise here, on our show that make this possible each Thursday morning here. And we have one guest sitting here with me this morning, one of my former students of about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, I guess, and he's going to be talking about a career that he just recently retired from, and that is the United States Navy. You know, that was the old thing we used to say, you know, join the Navy and see the world if you don't mind looking through a porthole. And I'm sure that he may have heard that once or twice, but he's here with us this morning, and he's going to talk a bit about this, since this is Veterans Day. And, of course, we do salute all of our veterans throughout the Clay County, throughout everywhere. And, you know, sometimes we kind of forget what veterans, what it actually means, you know, that someone that has given a portion of their life, sometimes their freedom, and sometimes the ultimate sacrifice to enable us to do things like we're doing here right now. And we have picked out one special day, but every day should be a special day when we meet someone on the street that we know that is a veteran. We stop and talk a few minutes and exchange stories, and it's amazing what we find out when we just stop and talk to you. Talk, but when we talk to anyone, just like we sat here and we talked this morning, and I know, I hope Anthony's looking forward as much as I am to fill us in on some things. We're going to talk about, to begin with, what it felt like graduating from high school here at Salina, Tennessee, and just a little while later, embark on something that I don't know where he may have not even had it on his mind for a long time. Then all at once, it happened. But we're going to take a little short break, word from our sponsors, and we're going to come back, and we're going to have a little conversation here with Anthony Collins about his career in the Navy and what it meant to him and what it means to all of us. We'll be back just in a few minutes.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information, 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
A state debris burn permit is required for outdoor burning through May 15th, where local restrictions do not apply. Get your leaf and brush pile burn permit free, fast, and easy from your mobile device 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Central Time at burnsafetn.org. Where internet access is limited, call 877-350-2876 Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Call volume can be high with long wait times, so get a permit online if possible. Again, that website is burnsafetn.org. Remember, fire prevention begins with you.
Back, everyone. I said, Anthony, you're with us this morning. And Anthony, I know there were a number of years after you graduated, of course, for about 4 years, I saw you just about every day in one class or another.
Yep.
And somewhere along the line, I don't know, a few years later, and I guess your mom saw her somewhere, because your older sister Annette was one of my favorites also. And when I said something to her how Annette was doing, she said, "Well, let me tell you about Anthony." Anthony is you now are retired from the United States Navy. How long, Anthony?
It was 40 years and I would guess 10 months.
So you had a pretty good career, pretty lengthy
career.
Stayed
with it for a while, yes.
And all right, now, really, let's go back to those days when, you know, you're a high school graduate and you're looking around, you're in Salina, Tennessee, Clay County, and wondering, what in the world am I going to do? And how long did it take you to make that decision of what you were going to do?
I'm not sure I did, to be honest with you. I graduated, and obviously, like most kids, I had two choices. I could go to college, or I could find something to make money. And I ended up choosing the latter, and I stayed here for about 18 months and worked with Clay Sportswear and then Oshkosh B'gosh, and with a big whopping salary, somewhere below $5 at the time, and this was 1981. After talking it over with my wife, we decided that the best thing for me to do was find something different to do, because she didn't like it at Oshkosh either. So I ended up going to Cookeville, and everyone asked me why I chose the Navy, and I would tell them it's because they were the recruiting station on the end of the building nearest to the main road where I cut off of. I don't know if that's true or not. It was so long ago, I don't remember, but I did end up joining the Navy. I did a boot camp in Orlando in June of 1981, and this was after my son James Timothy was born.
Okay, now let's talk about, you know, everyone talks about, the first thing they say is boot camp. Boot camp in the Navy, is that on land or on sea?
It's on land, and they have a fake ship there for you to practice on. But at that time, there were three boot camps for the Navy. One was in San Diego, California. The other was in Great Lakes. And then, of course, the one that I went to was in Orlando, Florida.
Okay, now we do have a naval station in Tennessee. I don't guess you never were stationed there, were you?
I was actually stationed in Millington, Tennessee for 2 years, yes.
Okay, just threw that in there. But go ahead and talk about, like I said, and I know this had to be a tremendous awakening for you, because I know you had no idea what was fixed to smack you in the face when you got there, did you?
Not at all. I would tell you, though, I was kind of raised over in Pine Hill, and we stayed there basically the whole time I was growing up. So that first day when I joined the Navy, I took my first Greyhound bus trip. I've still got the ticket. I took my first airplane trip. I never saw that ticket. And then, of course, I ended up sleeping in a room with 90 other guys, all of first. That was an interesting 24 hours.
That's a big change from Mama's bedroom out Pine Hill, wasn't it?
It certainly was. I mean, I shared my bedroom with my brother, and that was kind of the way it was growing up. But,
And the basic training there, I know the Navy has to be different what we see from Paris Island and things like that. Which, of course, that is a branch of the Navy, also the Marines. Was it anything similar to what we know about Paris Island?
So I would tell you that in the other branches of service, and then I'm speaking from what I perceived based on what I heard, the Marines dealt a lot more with weapons, with guns and with tanks and such. Maybe we packed a stick around, and it was called a baton, and that's what we got, kind of guarded our property with. Really, I would guard a $300 million aircraft carrier with a stick. And I found that funny that in the mid-'80s, that's what we did. Obviously, we graduated from that years later, but in boot camp, they kind of focused on safety. They didn't want anyone to die. That was the big deal. So there was a lot of safety taught. There was a lot of procedures taught. But mainly, they kind of taught you how to perform your duties, I'm going to say, with a lot of people that you've never seen before. And it was all very great training for later.
Okay, and the various branches of the Navy, I'm not sure I hadn't asked you this beforehand. The branch that you wound up in, I know there are aircraft carriers, there are battleships. I mean, talk just a little bit about, what branch of the Navy did you wind up in? Not you start out at.
So I started off, and I loved it. Everyone asked me, why would you choose that field? Because there was 192 choices at that time, different things that I could have done. And I qualified for most of them. But I ended up telling them that I wanted to be a mailman. And for many years, when I got in front of what I would call sailors to talk to them about their careers, I told them I chose to be a mailman because on the way over there, I saw someone delivering mail in one of those little Jeeps, the red, white, and blue Jeeps. And I thought, wow, that sounds pretty cool. So when I told them I wanted to be a mailman, they shook their head and said, I can't believe you chose that rate. But it ended up being the greatest decision I could have made. So,
okay, now, what did that involve, Anthony?
So after boot camp, I moved on to a school in Indianapolis where they taught me how to handle mail in the Navy. And then I went to the aircraft carrier, Dwight D. Eisenhower. There was about, in port, there were 2,800 people stationed on board. And when we deployed the air wing, all of the different types of aircraft would come on board, and the population would grow to 6,000 people. So it was literally a small city. And I'll tell you this story because my mom told me to make some of this funny. When I was talking to the recruiter in the station, he was telling me about all the different places I could go, and I said, well, do we go away a long time on the ship? Oh, no, you go someplace and you come back. Not so true, number one. And he said, on aircraft carriers, they've got fun things to do. They've got ice cream shops. They've even got a bowling alley. And I thought, well, that seems a little ridiculous. But anyway, I get to a school, and we start dealing with what the person's called a detailer. They kind of tell you where you're going to be stationed at next. So I go to this A school, and I graduate, and I'm talking to the detailer, and I'm like, I would like to have a small ship out of San Diego, California. That just sounded wonderful. So he gave me an aircraft carrier out of Norfolk, Virginia. And I was like, wow, I guess that's the way this works. You have to ask for the opposite. But it ended up being a great tour. I worked for a man that was incredible. He was a great leader. He understood how to help people be successful. And, of course, I was petrified of him. 19 years old, I've got this first class, and like you, he's bearded, kind of a bigger guy. And he tells me when I get there, you really only have to do two things, exactly what I tell you, exactly when I tell you. And that's exactly what I did. And it was great advice. It was a great tour, worked with some incredible people. But being a postal clerk allowed me the opportunity to get to know a lot of people on board that ship. You were dealing with their mail.
What was your little Jeep there with you?
So I've got an interesting story for that too later. But
okay.
It ended up, we did every time we pulled into a port, which is something they don't do today. there would be a Jeep or a van or something on the pier. We'd go out and get in that thing and go find the mail. Sometimes it would be in an embassy. Sometimes it would be at the airport. But it was always an adventure that we enjoyed doing. Yeah, that's kind of why postal ended up being something I did the first 18 years I was in.
Okay, you know, and you were talking, you know, communication at that time, we didn't have all of the communications we have now.
Yep.
With the www dot and all that kind of thing. So your job was, and you said, you know, when you went on a tour of duty, and wherever you stopped, your job was to go in and collect the mail, bring it back to the ship, and distribute it out to the sailors.
Correct.
Did each one of them have a mailbox?
Well, distinctly by the groups you were talking about earlier, yes. Each Airedale wing had their own, and each department on the ship. But the funny part of it was, these guys loved getting mail from their family. Everybody wrote letters back then. We didn't have the internet. And if you're young and you don't understand what I just said, we at one point didn't have cell phones and internet. Everyone wrote letters, and that's kind of how they communicated. But heaven help us when some guy got a letter from his wife, and they did number them out of sequence. She's already fixed the problem, the car broke, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he comes running down to the post office saying, hey, I got number 116, but I didn't get 112 through 15. Where are they? I need to know what she fixed. I don't know what happened. Yeah, that was just always something we had a lot of fun with.
Okay, and I know something that I saw a few years ago, I think, with the Ronald Reagan in San Diego when the ship came in. And one of the, I guess one of the most outstanding things I've ever seen is the sailors all at attention around the top of the ship.
Right.
I mean, I know you probably took part in lots of those things. I mean, that...
Many, yep.
To me, that was an awesome experience to see.
It was a form of dressing the ship, especially in foreign ports, to give everyone a view of the United States Navy really at its best. So.
And, okay, now... You're in the Navy during, for 40 years, and you've been there through basically all of the so-called modern time conflicts we've had. How close to the conflicts were you, Anthony, during these times?
So in 1983, it started pretty quick, to be honest with you. The Eisenhower was off the coast of Libya, and we were so close that we could hear the battleship New Jersey, when she was firing shots over on to the land, and we flew missions, our aircraft did, to kind of cover the Marines that were left over there as we retrieved the bodies and all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of pretty close at that point. That was my first encounter, and there were many. There was Grenada, and then there was... In 1990, there was Desert Shield that came first. The Eisenhower was the first ship to go through the Suez Canal, and I don't remember, but it was a lot of years.
Right.
And then we got relieved of that, and I got stationed in Italy, and of course I was there during Desert Storm, which didn't last long, but it was all in support of what was going on over there.
So you were more in a support position. Let me ask you this.
Yep, always.
Did you ever get weaponized with personal sidearms?
So I did. When I went into Iraq, I guess this would have been at about 2009, yes. Yep.
So you...
I was in Iraq, yep.
You gave up your...
I did. Begrudgingly, but yes, I did, because I sure didn't get a lot of, I'm going to say, weapons handling training on that 9mm,
but
just enough to know how to use it.
So, you know, quite a transition there, wasn't it?
There was, absolutely.
Okay, I tell you what, let's take a little short break. We'll work in a few words from our sponsors, and we're going to come back and let you relate some more of the things. And I believe you said you were the mailman for like 18 years. We'll talk about beginning with your 19 here in a minute.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us.
That's why Macon Bank and Trust Secure Lock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Anthony and I are still here this morning, and we got started on time this morning, and we've got our birthday and anniversary coming up here in a few minutes. We'll be reading off some names for that. And like I said, Anthony's here. He's a career Navy man, and golly, he said 40-something years. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, he was one of my students, and he has spent 40 years in the Navy. Anthony just said something to me a minute ago, and I'm going to let him say it again. I'm going to throw this at him. And that is, he has a brother, Bobby. Bobby stayed here in Salina. And he was talking about a little thing between brothers, about kind of a mutual jealousy thing between the two brothers, one a veteran and the things that goes along with that, and one with the family member that stayed at home. Talk about that, just, I mean, those feelings just a second, Anthony. Let everybody know.
Well, I wouldn't call it jealousy. It's just something that I feel that Bobby has this adventurous streak in him, and trust me, anytime he gets a chance to take a trip, he's gone. And that is still going on today. But I was fortunate enough to go live my life in a lot of different parts of the world. And that included living in Italy for 8 years. And then he stayed here, and he had a lot of quality time with our family, which we were from a very close family. But now that I've come back, a lot of those people just aren't with us anymore. I've kind of missed that piece of what I would call staying tight with the family. And now the ones that are left, I've got to reestablish those close ties. And with COVID, that's been really tough.
And you know, that it's kind of strange that we had a chance meeting them when Anthony was coming in to get his driver's license and register his vehicle the other day, and I talked to him for just a second, because the first time I had talked to him, I don't know, maybe since high school, but he had to tell me who it was just for a second, since he's put on about 8 pounds, I believe, since then. But, and I thought, well, you know, here is a veteran that's give up a lot of things, he's gained a lot of things, and that would be interesting as a hero of any kind, but just a young man from Clay County who decided that he wanted to join the Navy, and kind of the thoughts and feelings were that. And right now we've covered up about 18 years, and beginning with the year 19, you changed boats.
So I would tell you, during those years, it allowed me to be stationed in a lot of different places. Washington, D.C., New York City, Italy, Millington, Tennessee, which we discussed. I was there for 2 years. Of course, Norfolk, where all my ships were. But at 19, I was on my second tour in Italy when I picked up Command Master Chief. From there, I became the most senior person at any command I went to, meaning I'm getting older. So I ended up having three tours like that. One was in Italy. The second one, I commissioned the USS Bainbridge, TVG 96. You may have heard about it in the movie, where they rescued Captain Phillips off the coast of Africa. That was the ship I commissioned. And then I went on to work for a two-star admiral, where I was the most senior logistics person in the Navy. And there were about 25,000 people who I tried to help be successful in their career, but also to prepare some of them as they made plans to leave the Navy. Now, this was my 27 through 30-year period, and I've got to tell you, that was a great time because I got to travel all over the world and talk to these people. But more importantly, I learned a lot about myself, because when I got to 30 years and I called the detailer and he can't station me anywhere because I'm too old, that I failed to prepare myself to get out. But I would tell you I was very lucky, because when I retired out of active duty after 30 years, they hired me right back to train. And that's what I've been doing now for the last 10-plus years, is teaching people how to work in logistics related to the Navy.
And that is a very, I mean, we're sitting here now, and that has to be one of the most important veterans projects there is.
It is.
To prepare for life when you become
absolutely
a citizen again.
Yep.
Let me ask you about your education during all of this.
So people laugh at me when I tell them this, but I graduated from high school in 1979, and I graduated from college in 2012 when my nephew Curtis and my son James Timothy also graduated, literally on the same day.
So you picked up courses over the years.
I did.
And in the Navy, they kept up with them. They didn't expire.
Yep.
That kind of thing.
Yep, absolutely. Everything was transferable. And then I got into this situation where I was able to take more courses and finish up my degree. And I got my bachelor's degree in 2012, like I said. So, yep.
I thought my eight-year plan was long. But, okay, now, we were family during this period of time. And you were stationed in Italy. Your family went with you to Italy.
Yep, they did. Yep. So, and my sons, it's funny because as COVID was starting in December of 2019, I took my oldest son and his wife back to Italy. And he wanted to go back where he went to school because he had such fond memories of it. And this is in Gaeta. Gaeta is a little city. In the wintertime, the population is under 30,000. But we lived there from 1990 to 1994, and he had a lot of fond memories of it. But we went back, and the school had been demolished just the year before. He was crushed. I thought he was going to cry.
Well, you know, there's something there, too. What I would say, you know, you have kind of lived a vagabond life. You haven't really been able to set roots down anywhere other than where the tree originally started. What kind of effect does that have on a military family with your children and their establishing of family roots and things like that? I mean, I know you've thought about this, and I don't know if you ever thought you wanted to say it out loud or not, but you know, some of the things that involves with a family like that.
So it's funny you say that, because I have two sons, James Timothy and Joshua Ray. And Josh immediately, once he got his act together, bought a house and started rebuilding it. And now it's an amazing place. Been in the same house. My other son, I think him and his wife have moved five times now. And most recently, which really thrills me, they moved to Tennessee. They are both doing well. I would tell you, despite what I would call a very active childhood, both of them moving around so much, they both married very well, and they're doing great. So,
education-wise for them, Let's talk about the time they started kindergarten until they got their college degree. How many different countries, states, schools were they involved in, Anthony?
Wow, you're going to force
well,
me
no, wait, I'm
to think
stop.
About
I'm,
numbers.
I'm, well, wait, I'm going to let you stop. Think a few minutes, and I'm going to read the birthday, and we're going to come back. Celebrating birthdays this past week, or anniversaries, we have Jonathan and Claudia West, who celebrated an anniversary. We have Mr. Ricky Jr. Hale, who celebrated a birthday, and Beverly Stewart with a birthday, Barbara Driscoll, Suzanne Roberts, and Amy Tilson. We'd like to wish all of these folks a very, very happy birthday and remind that we'll be doing a little selection here in a little bit, and one of those will receive a gift from the compliments of WVFB-FM 101.5. You'll need to go over by the Clay County Chamber of Commerce and pick that up. So we'll be doing that toward the end of the program, and we'll be right back in a few minutes when I get my microphone untangled from my glasses, and we'll be right back.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Okay, Anthony, we were talking about the education and the family life of a vagabond sailor. We'll call you that now. A little bit about that, the different schools, the different types of education process they may have been exposed to, and well, really the different ways of life that your wife had to get used to.
Yeah, I would tell you that both Josh and Timothy went to school in Italy, and that's a Dodge school. Other than that, though, they kind of bounced between Virginia Beach and, Tim went to New York City. It was just kind of a vagabond of places. But I'll tell you, Tim ended up going in the Navy for 6 years and then used his GI Bill to get his bachelor's degree in accounting. Joshua chose a different path, though. He would rather work with his hands. So now he actually works with the Norfolk Navy shipyard maintaining those ships.
So they haven't ventured, he hadn't ventured too far from where he was raised.
He has not, no.
And, okay, now I know... The medal you handed me, and I don't know, I guess a lot of folks, I kind of threw out there that you were kind of like you were an enlisted man the whole time, and you were kind of like the sergeant major, which we know that's the guy that actually runs the Army in different posts and things, and that was basically what you did. Well, I mean, you ran a lot of things from that position.
Managed, I would say.
Excuse me.
Yep, absolutely.
You weren't really in charge.
In logistics, that's correct. I worked for a two-star admiral. Yeah.
You weren't officially in charge.
No, not by any stretch.
And some of the things that, you know, lots of responsibility there.
Yep.
And you, I mean, just exactly the most important thing that you did without saying anything you're not supposed to say.
I don't think there's anything I'm not supposed to say. Logistics is pretty simple. which I guess this country's kind of suffering from a little bit of that today. But I would tell you that some of the most important things we did was got ships the parts they needed to be able to stay underway for very long periods of time and keep airplanes in the sky.
Okay. Another thing, out of all of this time, approximately how much did you actually have to be on board ship?
So I was in the Navy for 30 years in active duty. I was on board ship for about 13 years.
So you actually were, and at that time, of course, the family was back at the port waiting for Dad to come home.
Yep.
And we talked about, you know, the change in technology from letter writing, and then by the time you left, basically, you could pick up your phone and face-to-face talk to each other. So, yep. I mean, you have gone through a tremendous period of change for the whole country and for the Navy. And now, what about your next career? What you got in mind for the next one, Anthony?
It's funny you say that. I've got this bucket list of things that old men do. And I've got to tell you, it's been whittled down because I've come to realize I'm not going to live to be 120. But there are a lot of things that I still want to do. And you said you've been to all 50 states. I have not. But there's also a lot of things I'd like to do again.
And you branch most of that out of Clay County now.
It'll be home for it. It will. Absolutely.
Well, Anthony, it's been a pleasure having you here this morning. And, of course, once again, this is Veterans Day. And I had something I was going to read, and I'm going to do that when I come back. I think I will if I can find it here on this handy-dandy machine. That is a poem that another Salina High School graduate, his name is Kenneth Cherry, that graduated from West Point. He had written a poem for his daughter's graduation from college, and I may try to find that and read that when we come back from break. But Anthony, it's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you.
And anytime you want to come back and you make you some more notes and come back and talk about some of the what the oddest thing you've ever gotten involved in. That has to be a good question.
Wow. Yeah, I would probably say there's this place called Djibouti, and we have about 4,500 people stationed down there, and we went down there on an airplane.
And where is this place at?
It's in Africa.
Okay.
Nobody's ever heard of it. Hottest place on the planet.
I've heard of it.
But we got on an airplane, and one of our master chiefs, I think I went down there with four, dressed up like Santa Claus, and we took everybody down there's stuff for Christmas. And that was a pretty amazing Christmas.
And they didn't know who Santa Claus was.
No, they didn't.
But it was a guy out of the sky that had gifts.
With an airplane, yep. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, well, that isn't that Santa Claus?
Kind of.
A guy coming out of the sky with gifts.
That's the way we sold it to everyone.
Oh, thank you, Anthony, for being here with us today.
Sure.
We'll be right back after a few words from our sponsor.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to thank Anthony for coming in this morning. Like I said, one of my former students of a year or two ago. Of course, he had an outstanding career with the Navy, as he said, and worked his way up to one of the premier positions in the Navy. And he brought me a bronze medallion, and on that it said that it's Command Master Chief, Naval Supply Systems Command, and this was his position, which was a major position in the Navy. And it was, like I said, a pleasure in letting him catch up with the folks here on his career. And we hope you enjoyed that. And, of course, as I said, this is a salute to Veterans Day today. And I have with me Mr. Grant Strong. And he, he has a very important day today. Grant, you want to tell us what's happening today and kind of how you led up to this day, and just whatever you want to talk about for a few minutes.
Today I will be signing my national letter of intent to Tennessee Tech University to play men's basketball. It's been, the recruitment process from the time I've been a sophomore, whenever it started picking up, had a lot of colleges talk to me, and, Tennessee Tech just seemed to be the best option for me, so that's the way I'm going to go.
And why is that the best option for you, Grant?
Whenever I was going through the recruitment process, I really looked at places that felt like home and kind of, really felt comfortable in. And I've built an incredible relationship with Coach Pelfrey and the rest of the coaches over there. And, that place, Tech's so close to home. It's over there in Cookeville, only, 45 minutes away from us. It just felt like the right place to be.
And it is kind of home, isn't it?
It is.
Because I think maybe you have a brother and a sister that do reside over there now.
Got a brother and a sister over there, and my mother works over there at Cookeville Regional. So, it's home for me.
So it is, like you said, kind of home. Okay, now let's go back a few years. Let's go back about, 7th grade. When you were about 5'2" and weighed about 75 pounds, and now you are 6'5". You don't weigh much more than 72 pounds now.
180.
But the process. Your physical and mental process through going from a small junior high athlete to a tall premier athlete.
It was a long process, a lot of hard days. Being kind of smaller in 7th and 8th grade, I had to, it kind of helped me. It was kind of funny because I had to learn how to play smarter rather than harder, because I had to figure out how to get my shot off around taller defenders and different stuff like that. And then whenever the height, I hit a big growth spurt in between my 8th grade and freshman year. And whenever I hit that growth spurt, it allowed me to, kind of open me up to do more things with the ball and, off the ball. And, it was definitely a long process, lots of long nights in the gym, but with my dad, helping me out every step of the way, my coaches, we got to where we want to be.
Okay, and, with a lot of times when youngsters like that have that growth spurt, they lose a lot of their agility, their quickness. And, speaking from a spectator side, you never lost that. And do you think that's from just the fact that you worked at it? And, of course, part of it has to be nature. But I know agility drills and things like that. How many hours do you think in your life so far you've put in those things?
I spent a lot of time in the gym working on, a lot of people call it our craft, our handle, our movements, different stuff like that. And lots and lots of plyometric drills, stretching, to keep my body limber. It has really helped me to stay limber.
Okay, let me ask you this. Sometimes when you do something, I know back in the day when a few years ago when you were playing also like junior high football, it seemed like that your feet reacted without a brain charge from them, that maybe, like you said, you thought with your feet sometimes. And it seems like that still happens sometimes, that things happen so quick that there's no way that you actually gave it a conscious thought before it happened.
Lots of time, worked on my footwork, worked on my footwork a whole lot in those younger days, and you know, it's kind of never left me. It just kind of became second nature for me.
Okay, and I know from previous interviews and things that this hadn't been accomplished by you by yourself, has it?
No, by no means.
Are there some special thank yous that you would like to issue at this time?
And you know, I just want to thank all my teammates, all my coaches, anybody that has helped me to get to where I'm at today. You know, last season we did something that has never been done in Clay County. You know, we won a state championship. I want to say a special thanks to our only senior last year, Gunnar Silk. I mean, that guy, he was our leader. He was our glue. And, you know, I just want to thank the community as well. All the love and support I've received from seventh grade up until now, you know, it's just, it's crazy.
And the last year's season, I mean, that, you know, that is the dream season. That, I know you lost the first ball game of the season. And from there, it was pretty much a road to the state tournament.
It was. You know, we had some bumpy parts in the road, and you know, we overcame it. We never got frustrated with each other. You know, it was a bond and a chemistry that was kind of unbreakable at the time. So, you know, lots of ups and downs, but we hung it out and got to where we wanted to be.
Okay, I know the awards that you have won. I mean, there's a great big long list of those. I guess really beginning with your freshman year, I think you were selected as freshman of the year or on the freshman team, I believe. And you know, then there was, I mean, but between those 2 years. It was just amazing, wasn't it? I mean, I know it had to surprise you. Some of the things you were now able to do.
You know, it was a lot of motivation for me. You know, from freshman year to sophomore year, I made the freshman team, but felt like I should have been freshman of the year. So it pushed me to, you know, get back in the gym every day and to put in the extra work that was needed. You know, I think that's a lot of the reason I'm here where I am today.
Okay, and of course you did receive the ultimate award for the Class A basketball in the state of Tennessee last year. Just a little bit about that, Grant. I know it's not your award all by yourself. It's an award of all the people that were beside you, sometimes in front of you, sometimes behind you, that made this possible.
You know, it was an incredible honor to be able to hold that award and, you know, to have that. It's always been a dream of mine to be a Mr. Basketball, and, you know, to accomplish that, it was awesome. But without my teammates, my coaches, you know, none of that was possible.
And the state tournament itself, I know you guys, you had to come into last year feeling cheated.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us a little bit about, you know, the thought, you know, that I'm talking about the year of the COVID when the state tournament was canceled just as you guys made the field.
You know, my sophomore year was Jake Ashlock and Mason Sharp's senior year. And, you know, we hated that they couldn't be with us last season because, you know, we felt that they, especially, you know, us as a team got cheated from it, but them too especially, you know, and it drove us. We kind of played for them last season, and it drove us to work harder. And you know, we really wanted to play at the Glass House sophomore year. So you know, we got a taste of what it was like. Kind of got some experience in a sub-state game, different stuff like that. And you know, all that helped us to do what we did last season.
And you came in, and I guess the team that you played first last year was the team you were supposed to have been your. Were they the ones supposed to be your main competition when your sophomore year?
They were ranked one our sophomore year, and they were ranked one last year too. So you know, it was good. It kind of played out good for us because we had a week to prepare for them for that first round instead of having to play them on back to back days or having them one day skip. You know, we kind of got the game plan for them, get a feel for them, watch some film, and, you know, it kind of played out good for us.
What did it feel like when you looked up and you were like 10 or 12 points behind right off the bat?
You know, it was kind of a scary feeling, but we had a commercial timeout in the state championship game. They do commercial timeouts, and we had one there halfway through the first quarter, and it was like, I think it was 14-2 at the time, and we all kind of looked up there, and Coach seen us looking up there, and he said, "Boys, it's a long game." He said, "There's a lot more ball to be played today, and, you know, there ain't no reason that we can't come back from this." And, you know, we all believed that wholeheartedly, and, you know, that's what we did.
And none of them were easy, were they?
No, by no means. No game throughout the season was easy. Any team, it was a very competitive season, but, you know, that's what we were looking forward to. That's what we liked, was a competitive game. So, you know, it was a great season.
And, of course, now looking forward to this year. It's going to be another tough year. And from some of the main competition again, that would be in Pickett County. Mm-hmm. And I guess I need to ask this. Jeff Spivey, I know Jeff had to be taken off the football field the other night. How is Jeff right now?
Jeffrey's doing better. No major injuries. Lots of soreness right now. Took a nasty hit on Friday night against Sail Creek in the first round of the playoffs. But he's doing good. He's walking, kind of limbering back up a little bit, doing lots of stretches and maybe taking some Advil, different stuff to alleviate that pain. So he's doing better.
Very good. So, and like I said, we're looking forward to the first game. It's not on the schedule, and that is next Tuesday night up at Cumberland County, Kentucky. And I guess you said boys only game. It's one of our, what we call a Hall of Fame game, where the state association gets most of the money out of it, but it allows you to play some extra games. And I think, of course, over the years, the high school schedule has been, it's been trimmed down considerably over the years. I know probably a couple of games since you started playing. And there was a time back a few years ago when it basically pretty much unlimited the number of games you could play in a year. I know going back in a few years back further than that, some high schools were playing 40 and 50 basketball games a year. But, of course, it really hadn't changed all that much now, because once high school season ends, something you mentioned there a minute ago, outside high school season starts, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And what? Tell a little bit about that experience where you were thrust on teams with people that you didn't know.
You know, it was a great opportunity and a great experience to, you know, I've seen a lot of places. I've played basketball in a lot of different states, a lot of different cities, and to play with guys from, you know, within the state and with, you know, out of state, it was great to meet new friends that I'll have forever. I still talk to most of them on a daily basis, and to play with other guys that are, you know, not that I don't at the high school level, but to play with guys that are, you know, that are D1. And to play against a lot of guys that are top recruits in the nation, it's really helped me, and it's been awesome just to see some of those high level guys.
Okay, now on another side of something, the state tournament, you're feeling about, you know, the folks that run the state tournament. I mean, the graciousness I know that they showed you guys. Tell a little bit about that experience of just being there, Grant.
You know, the TWSAA state tournament. It's awesome to play there at MTSU. Whenever you walk out on that floor, you just kind of get a different rush, a different feeling, lots of adrenaline. You know, they were nothing but awesome to us, great hospitality. It's an awesome experience, and, you know, hopefully we can get back there and experience it again this year.
Okay, and looking to a couple of three things about the state tournament. I know most folks will always remember, and one of them was and I don't know, I think you surprised everyone when you came down the floor from center court and went down and blocked a shot. And to me, that was one of the major turns. I mean, did you have any idea you were going to be able to make it in time?
I was uncertain because the guy that I blocked, he's a Tennessee football commit. He's a UT football commit, incredible athlete. And, you know, fortunately, I became buddies with him after beating them in the state championship. And he's a great guy, but he's an incredible athlete. And whenever he caught the ball, he was about the 3-point line, and we were dead even. And you know, I just wanted to affect his shot. I didn't know that I was going to get a hand on it, but you know, it was great to feel that ball touch my hand, and you know, that play actually led to a three-pointer in the corner by Gunnar Silk, and that was I do believe that was a huge turning point in that game.
I absolutely was. I mean, that was major, and that was the next thing I was going to mention was how that play ended,
mm-hmm.
and that was with a pass, and I think maybe you made that pass down to Gunnar, because I think after that they had kind of swarmed you.
They swarmed all over me. It was funny because Keaton was at the top of the key, and I was trying to hit Keaton on the pass, and it slipped out of my hand at the last second. Over to Gunner, and he knocked down one of the biggest shots of the game with that three-pointer.
So that wasn't an intentional assist.
Yes, it was kind of unintentional, but it led to good things. So.
Okay, and then the other, and of course we have to bring, and that is the shot.
The half-court shot. you know, we were down 20, what was it, 23, 24?
Down 1 point. 20,
yeah. 22, 24, whatever it was. You know, we talk about it, and we practice half-court shots a lot in our practice because of moments like that. You know, you never know when you're going to be forced to shoot something like that. And, you know, game control, let it fly, and it was great to see it go through. But that was a big turning point as well.
I think, you know, that, and said there were so many team plays there in that. And like you said, Gunner, who really came alive in the finals, and really, really, like I said, his leadership really, really showed up in the state tournament, and especially in that final game. But it took all of you guys. I mean, there were just outstanding plays made by every individual out there. There were certain that actually, you know, had a whole lot to do with the outcome of that entire week.
Yeah.
And I do know that as the first team to win it, that's a very, very outstanding accomplishment. And of course, I not saying anything about it, but going back to, you mentioned your dad, and your dad was on the team that made the first trip down there, and you know, you kind of maybe finished up the work that he started.
It was you know, I seen him, he was very proud of me, and you know, that was to be expected, but I think he was more emotional about it, because you know, he had been there and had seen what it takes to win a game. Unfortunately, he never won a game at the class. Or he did win one game there, but he lost twice there, did he not?
Yes.
You know, he seen what it was. He seen the competition level, and I just think that made him even more proud.
And well, Grant, look like we've killed a radio show today. It's been a pleasure having you here, and you know, I know you'd like you want to invite everyone yourself.
Yes, 1:30 today in the CCHS cafeteria. I will be signing my national letter of intent. Anyone that wants to come out, please do.
Either wear your championship T-shirt or a Tennessee Tech T-shirt.
Yep.
And looking forward to that. And I guess today we've got a winner of the cake today, and Ricky Jr. Hale has won the birthday prize today. So Ricky, you'll need to go over by the chamber and pick up that envelope, and I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy your birthday, and happy birthday, happy anniversary to all the folks that were celebrating this week. And with that, I guess it's about time we remind folks that we're still on at rebroadcast at 5 today, but next week we will go back to our 6 o'clock rebroadcast time after today. I think this is the last football show today, so we'll be back on 6 o'clock for a while. And remember, everyone, Tuesday night up at Cumberland County, the boys open up with that. And I think, do the girls have a girls-only where they open up earlier? Or
the girls play a girls-only. I believe it's Scott High sometime in the – might be –
17th, maybe.
I believe it is the 17th.
I believe it is, too. So got that coming up. So, and basketball season, football season is still going on. I think we've got to go down to South Pittsburgh. And, of course, that is the thorn in our side. And if we can whip them tonight, we might make it all the way to the state finals this year, because the next opponent would probably be Gordonsville again, and they can't beat us again, can they?
Can't do it.
All right. Thanks, Grant, for coming by. And with that, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you again here on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And until then, good day, Clay County.